From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
What is up, everybody? It is Wake Up War Chant. It is presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. CPTallyBar.com is the website. Or pull out that phone, camera, QR code, go right to the website. Coming up on today's show, it is Tuesday. We got Tom Lang of Jeff Cameron Show fame, as well as WarChant.com, WarChant TV, all the channels, all the goodness that is WarChant. Talking ball, sharing some observations, and Corey and I also kicking around some thoughts about this Louisville game. We, though, as always, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. It is Tuesday. It is Trivia Tuesday. Will this be the Tuesday that Corey brings home the crown from the CP? Will it, Corey? Or you won't be down here, will you?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta, buddy. So everybody's lucky. Anybody go? Now's the time to go. Today is the time to go because you have a chance to actually win. I think we finished second last time. It was a pretty good showing. I think we finished second. And the question, Aslan, at Corner Pocket Trivia, which is every Tuesday, bingos Thursday, live music on weekends. They'll have the game Friday night. Great place to drink beer and eat good food. Was how long? It was a tiebreaker, and it was how long was Alan Shepard's first flight into space? How long did it last? That was the tiebreaker. So you had to get whoever got closest, and he was the first American in space. Everyone knows, obviously, Yuri Gagarin was the first human in space for the Soviet Union. But how long do you think Alan Shepard's flight was?
I don't know. In light years? What are we using?
Just in hours and minutes.
Well, you said hours, so that helps.
Well, that's what he said. Yeah, that's what he. Okay. That's the guy that said it. Time in hours and minutes of Alan Shepard's first.
Now I'm spooked out. I don't know, 36 hours, 29 minutes?
It was 15 minutes. So you would have lost. You would have not placed.
So what, he just went up and came back down?
Like, essentially, yeah. But he got to say, hey, I was in space, everyone. But yeah, it was like, I think I knew it was really short, but I'm like 15 minutes. I even wanted to say 15 minutes. I'm like, man, that doesn't seem, that's way too short. But yeah, it was. I threw it like 33. And so we won the tiebreaker because everybody else had put something like hour 30, hour 45. But yeah, it was 15 minutes. But hey, you know, 15 minutes more than you and I.
That's true. That is true.
Kudos, Alan Shepard, one of the first original seven, American hero.
Shout out. What I hope goes by as quick as Mr. Shepard's foray into space is Florida State's game next week against Boston College. 8 p.m. kick, ACC Network. I don't know if I like Florida State being back if this is what we're getting in return, Corey. 8 p.m. kick?
I was not expecting that. I really hope if Florida State's 3-1 or 4-0 with Wake coming to town, I hope that's a night game. I think that would be really cool. I think that'd be, again, I know it's Wake Forest, and I know it hurts to think about being a big game when you're playing Wake Forest, but it is, and it's enormous. It will be an enormous game either way, but if they're 3-1 or 4-0, it would be a two ranked teams. I just don't want that to be a nooner. I don't think that's fair to the fans. That needs to be 3:30 or 7, and hopefully the ACC will take care of that because that'll be a primetime type showdown between what you hope are two really good quarterbacks still, like we know Hartman is, and we really think Jordan Travis is, and two teams that are ranked, because I don't see Wake losing before that game. They play Clemson, don't they? Play Clemson before they play. So they'll still be ranked if they're 4-1. And maybe they beat Clemson. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Well, who knows? Because apparently State of North Carolina is on the come up. You saw the tweet I sent you guys in the group chat the other night to you and Ira. I guess Wake's 2-0. Duke is 2-0, NC State 2-0, North Carolina 2-0. First time ever. So all those teams winning, maybe that makes a noon kickoff. That would be a bummer, though, right? Florida State's back, and then we get paid back with Wake at noon. But we won't speak that into existence. We won't speak into existence. Tom Lane coming up on the show later, sharing some observations. Man, they look good, I thought, on Monday, Corey. You know, you're up at your manor in Atlanta, getting ready for the Louisville game on Thursday, which I know you're stoked, or for Friday, rather. Mm. You're stoked about going back to Louisville. You're going to show me around
Louisville.
Churchill Downs?
Is that Friday before the game, that's the plan. We'll be there because, it's like I said, it's walking distance, and we got parking passes, so we can you know, it's literally right down the street. So yeah, man, starting at like 12:30, we'll be at Churchill Downs until probably, I don't know, 5:30.
Oh,
you get to bet on like 8 races, man. Yeah, I'm going to show you the ropes. We're going to win a lot of money together, you and I.
Can I bring my camera bag and my tripod and everything in there?
Oh, man, just leave it in the car. We'll get it on the walk to the stadium.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Look at you. Corey's a pro at this. Like, oh, I have to cover a game for my job? Well, I got some pleasure on the side I'm going to dabble in. I'll be able to meld them together.
The third, I can't remember if I told this story before. Forgive me if I have. But the Thursday night, the Jameis Thursday night game up there, I didn't know Churchill Downs was that close to the stadium. And so I parked. I had a parking pass. I parked the night of. That was a Thursday night. I got there probably at 5 for a 7:30 game. And then Ira, who I wasn't working with at the time because he was at War Chant and I was the Democrat, he and some other people were at the track. And I'm like, oh, well, I'll walk down there and meet you guys. And
what?
I did.
Ira on the clock? At Churchill Downs before a big game?
Well, yeah, it was like, I mean, it was this, I don't even think the press box was open yet. So he had gone to Churchill Downs. Okay. And so I went and joined him. And I think I got there for 2 races. In the last race, I made a $25 parlay bet, meaning the 2 horses have to finish first and second, the 2 that I pick. And I ended up winning $600. I couldn't even fit it in my wallet, Aslan. It was crazy. Ira was not happy with me because I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. I picked the favorite, and then I picked like the third favorite, and I just boxed them with a parlay. And I ended up winning $620. Meanwhile, Ira's one of those guys that's got the racing form out and is looking at, oh, man, he faded in his last race, or he's not good on the dirt, all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm just looking at the numbers, and I picked one, and I won $600. So I haven't been nearly that lucky since, but hopefully that'll happen on Friday, man. That'll be a good sign if it does because the Noles won that game.
Again, I thought they practiced well on Monday, handling success, if you will, doing a good job of handling it, managing it. Man, there's just a couple throws that Jordan made during practice that, like, you know, Mike Norvell, it didn't stop practice, but he just, like, jumped off his mark to go run and just tell Jordan how great he did. And I was like, that was a pretty darn good throw. He's getting better every day. He's going to be really good by the time the season's over. Excited. Hopefully, obviously, he stays healthy here. You know, what is your concern then right now, Corey? You know, I mean, we're going to have Tom on to talk a little bit about all this stuff big picture-wise, but, I mean, this quarterback looks real good. I don't know how good of a team Louisville really is. I know it's on the road, but I mean, if you've got a good quarterback, and it's not a guarantee that you're always going to play great, you're not always going to be on your best, but he can just do too many things right now for me to think that he's just going to go missing for too long in a 60-minute game, which is how you usually lose games when your quarterback goes missing. I just don't think he's got too many tools to go missing for too long.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at this game objectively, like standing back, I think Florida State probably has the better quarterback, although Cunningham has, I mean, he's kind of torched Florida State the last 2 years, man. And I didn't realize this. I wrote a story that's on the site. Go read it. $1, folks. $1 still. Go sign up so you can read all the stuff that Ira and I write and interact with us on the message boards. But, you know, he ran for 1,000 yards and 20 touchdowns last year. Like that's crazy. He ran for 1,030 yards and 20 touchdowns. And in this game against Central Florida, he didn't throw the ball well, but he still threw for 191 yards and ran for another 117, including a 45-yard touchdown. So that's the element that he brings. And their offense has not been good, but you never know, man. If he gets hot one night, think of like he's better than this kid, but like the Marcus Hagans kid at Virginia from way long ago. Like that kid had the night of his life.
Yeah.
Just spinning around, spinny doos, throwing it up, incredible throws. If Cunningham has a hot night with his arm, plus what he can do with his legs, that worries you. I think it's going to be a 4-quarter game. I don't expect either one of these teams to blow the other one out. And I don't necessarily trust the kicker. And that's a concern when you're going to be playing a lot of close games. I just don't trust the kicker. I hope I can learn to. I hope we all can learn to. But I'm just still kind of – it's not just that he missed a 47-yarder. It's that it was short in a dome. And if Florida State is going to have the type of season that we all want them to have, you can't be out of field goal range when the ball is at the 31-yard line. That still has to be makeable field goal range. And right now, maybe you just chalk it up to a mishit. But I don't know when you get in the 30 that that's still field goal range. So that concerns me, that you can't be leaving points out there when you're going to be playing so many close games. And they left plenty of points against LSU, and they're going to be playing a lot of close games from here on out. It's a road game. I want to see, Fitzgerald's going to be a big deal moving forward. If they get him right and he hits 90% of his field goals, they're going to win more than they lose, maybe a lot more than they lose. But I don't know that we can trust that right now. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday, period three again, where they kind of set up a last-second, last-minute game situation trailing where you got to go down, get into field goal range. I mean, offense absolutely just ripped down the field. And then Fitzgerald pushed it to the left. I mean, pushed it significantly to the left, and they missed it. And then later on during practice on Monday, you know, they were doing some kicking, and he makes two of them. He makes, like, two field goals back-to-back, and Ira pulls out his phone. I was like, oh, man, he made two kicks. Like, let me update the update thread. And as soon as Ira goes update it, the third kick, he missed. Yep. But then he made the fourth one. So he went 3-for-4 when they moved outside. Maybe not as much pressure, because when they do that inside the IPF, you know, the music's blaring loud, and it's a, you know, winner-take-all situation. I mean, I get that concern. I just don't know if – I don't know if the game's going to come down to a kick. I mean, I think it's going to come down to, you know, Florida State probably just stemming the tide and trying to keep Louisville out of the end zone, because I think Florida State's offense is going to do plenty enough to move ahead of Louisville. My one concern might be the fact that I think Louisville's obviously going to want to try to run the ball. Can Florida State just play base and stop it? I mean, it's a simple thing. It's probably every team that's going to play this weekend. Like, if you can stay in your base defense and you can stop the run, if you don't have to do anything all that exotic to pressure the quarterback, you know, these things, if you can rush four and get to the quarterback, you'll probably, you know, quite well when you're playing your game. But I just think if Florida State will they be healthy? We don't know what Fabian Lovett's status is going to be. If he's not in there, that obviously affects the calculus of things. But, man, if Florida State doesn't have to invest a lot to stop Louisville's run, he'll make some plays downfield, but I think they'll be good enough. But, man, if Louisville can run the ball and they got to start creeping guys and throwing resources to slow that down, he's only completing 48% of his passes right now, Malik Cunningham. But, I mean, if, you know, they make him take 4 or 5 deep shots and he only completes one or two of them and they go for a touchdown, then you're looking at kind of a problem. So it's really going to come down to, I just think what I feel good about right now is I think Florida State, you know, they're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to want to establish the run. I think they'll be able to do so. Louisville's banged up front. They've got an undersized guy anchoring their defensive line right now. And I don't know if Louisville's going to be able to run the ball all that well traditionally. I mean, Malik Cunningham's going to be able to drop back and scramble much like Jaden Daniels did, but that's not a game plan for anybody, I don't think, right? Not, at least I wouldn't think it is.
Well, no, it shouldn't be, because you want the kid to play all 12 games. And if he keeps running 17 to 20 times a game, that's going to be hard to do in this league, or any league for that matter. But you know what? And another concern just about this offense. No, the offense for Louisville has been really bad for 2 weeks. There's no other way to put it. I mean, they've scored 3 touchdowns in 2 games. They're averaging 13.5 points. But they're playing at home. It's always easier to play offense at home. That UCF crowd, I know it's not the biggest crowd in the world because it's not a big stadium, but they were into it all night. Mm-hmm. And Syracuse, I imagine, once they got ahead, that place got loud. That place does get loud, even if it's not really full. So those were two tough places to play. They are going to be so relieved to be 1-1 and back on their home field. And I think relief. And loose, they can be looser, and I expect them to play much better than they have, because teams do get better, they do improve, and also, you know, the last two, and they're also seeing an opponent that they have torched. They are not scared at all of Florida State. You know, the last two games, I just looked it up to make sure, they've scored 31 points in the first half each of the last two times they played Florida State. I mean, that's crazy. Now, last year, they had 31 in the first half and a big fat goose egg in the second. Florida State rallied, but you can't let this team gain a ton of confidence and just shock and awe you for 21 points in the first half or 31 points in the first half. If you can keep them feeling kind of, I don't know, skeptical about their own offense because it's not working again, that's when you can maybe extend the lead and then, you know, hopefully hang on for dear life in the fourth quarter. But you can extend that lead and get yourself some separation. But, man, the last two times you have played this quarterback and this offense, and I know they're different teams, he has absolutely lit you up in the first half to the tune of 31 points in 2 quarters each time. You can't let that happen again and expect to win. I think Jordan Travis is good. I think this offense is better. I don't expect this offense to be putting up 40 on the road. or even maybe 35. Like, they've done it once since Norvell's been here. They put 35 points up on the road. So you've got to assume 30 to 33 points needs to be enough to win the game. So don't let them score 31 in the first half.
While the Chargers and Chiefs prepare for a battle of the AFC West on Thursday night, prepare for your winning season over at mybookie.ag. Some like to bet to earn and some bet to make the season more exciting. Either way, MyBookie gives you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus. It's quick and easy. $250 deposit puts $500 in your account instantly, and you can use your funds to bet on as many games, contests, and props as you want. To claim this bonus, just register and use the promo code WARCHANT, designed to add more excitement to the games and sports you love. That's promo code WARCHANT, W-A-R-C-H-A-N-T, which surprisingly, Ira, Corey, and I, whenever we're on the phone and making reservations, and we're like, WARCHANT, we just have to spell it out. But you folks know how to spell it.
So you're saying you put $200 in and you get $500 worth of credit?
$250. Yeah, they'll double it. They'll double it.
Wow, how about that? What are y'all waiting for? Good grief. That's the best. That's almost as good a deal as $1 for signing up to our site. But $250 and they double it. That's, man, you got to go for broke now. Go for it. Well, don't go broke. Go win money. That's what you guys do. You're going to want to go win money.
What are you pairing together, Corey? Are you pairing together Florida State straight up with the over on this one? Or are you gonna wait to unveil your parlay of the week since mine went completely bust last week?
I'll be honest with you. I unveil mine afterwards. I don't want people to take my betting advice at all. So I'm trying to be responsible there, trying to save people money. But I'll probably do something with the Falcons. I love the way they looked on Sunday. Want to feel that out and maybe bet on the Falcons with a parlay with the Noles. But I'm not telling you how I'm betting right now or even what I'm betting. But I'll tell you on Monday's show.
Right now over on MyBookie, Florida State, a 2.5-point favorite over under 54.5.
So they just keep going up. Like, I think, did Louisville start as a 1-point favorite? I thought they did. Maybe Florida State did, but it was 1.
Yeah.
And now it's all the way up to 2.5.
Two and a half. Everybody knows.
By the time the game starts, it's going to be like an 11-point spread.
Florida State is back. Go to mybookie.ag. Use that promo code WARCHANT.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Moving along, Tom Lang, Tuesdays with Tom, coming up shortly here. But, you know, we sometimes, you know, we're college football fans. We're Florida State fans, but we're journalists. We're objective and all that, but we're college football fans. I think we love the sport on the whole, right? And then this past week or so, the 12-team playoff apparently is happening now, Corey. It's happening, which I guess good for Florida State, right? Because you can maybe be a two-loss team. Good for Florida State. I don't know if it's good for the sport. Whatever. Everyone's making money. Give it to the players. Let them rise up. Whatever. I don't know. So it's here, Corey. 12 teams. What are your thoughts? Or it's coming, at least.
Yeah, I like it a lot. If you'd asked me this 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't. But nobody plays in bowl games anymore. The same four or five teams are in the play. I don't think that's good for the sport. So I think that what they're doing now, you keep, instead of eight teams fighting for those four spots, it's really down to six by that last weekend. There's six teams that have sort of a legitimate shot. Now you've got 17 or 18 teams that go into that last weekend with hope, with real hope. It adds drama. It adds drama to the unveiling. Where are you going to be on the road? What site? And what I wish they would do is that first round, the higher seeded team gets a home game. I think that is a perfect, reward for being the higher seeded team. It would be better for those schools. It would, you don't need to go. I think the fan bases would be better. Like, imagine Florida State's the 12 seed. And don't imagine, folks, it's going to happen in 3 years. They're the 12 seed and they got to go play, in Tempe. Are you going to Tempe for a playoff game where if you win, you've still got two more playoff games? That's a lot of money to be spending. But if you were, Florida State was, the better example would have been if Florida State's like the 8 seed. They could be hosting a game in Doak around the Heisman celebration, Heisman ceremony, that time of the year or the next week. I think that'd be awesome, man. I think you could get some snow games if Michigan's involved and Notre Dame, if Notre Dame ever wins a football game again. So, yeah, man, I think it's good for the sport. It's needed for the sport because also the parity, man. It's hard to know. Like, how do you know the top four teams in the country? They all could lose to anybody almost. So it's good for the parity to get those the 12 teams in. I think they said it's going to be six at-larges and six conference champions, I think. Like the five power five and then one group of five, I think. The highest-rated group of five conference champ gets in and then six at-larges. I think it's really good for the sport. I think it keeps fan bases involved and invested a lot longer in the season. And I also think it's good for recruiting because it's not just four teams now that can are five teams that can go tout, hey, we get to play in the playoffs. It's going to be 15 to 18 to 20 teams that are playoff contenders every year. I think the way football is now, it's so much better for the sport. I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, but kids are opting out of bowl games. Fans are tuning out in November when their team doesn't have a chance. It just gives you more reason to stay invested and know that one loss is just one loss. It's basically turning the NFL light anyway, Aslan. You might as well make more teams available like they do in the NFL.
I mean, I can't really say that anything you just said was wrong. My concern just becomes that, I'm a professional sports fan to a certain degree in terms of like liking pro sports. I've never really been like a ride or diehard NFL fan. So, I mean, you can go 10-6 and you could still end up winning the Super Bowl. But that's just the thing about college football, man. Just every week is just everything. Everything matters. Now I'm saying that, Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game and still Georgia makes it and wins it all. So maybe every week doesn't matter. I hope they can maybe create something. Maybe those top four teams that get a bye. I mean, I don't know how the 12 is going to work. It sounds like here the four highest-ranked conference champions
that would happen.
Will be seeded 1 through 4. They'll each get a first-round bye. Then teams seeded 5 through 12 will play each other in the first round on either the second or third weekend of December. Quarters and semis will be played in a bowl game on a rotating basis, championship game, neutral site, same as the current four-team format. So, I mean, they've got this figured out, obviously, here. But man, like if they could maybe give if you get the bye and then if you're one of the teams that has a bye, you're in the quarterfinal. Then I guess at that point, if you could play your game on campus, you have to you have to reward the regular season somehow more than just a bye. They have it all kind of listed out here right now. It's been fleshed out. There's nothing about putting these games necessarily on campuses. But man, I don't want the regular season to be diluted too much, if that makes sense.
I mean, I get it, but it has to be. College football isn't what it was when we were growing up. No. I mean, it's just too close. I mean, the teams are too close. It's really hard to go undefeated. It's really hard to even lose once. But you still might be a really good team that just had a bad day. And I get that we loved the way it used to be, but it's not that way anymore. I mean, Florida State, even Florida State was really good. They're not beating these ACC teams. Alabama's down from like 20 points to 11 points in the last few years. Like they're tougher games.
All right. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's can't scream against the sky, shake my fist against the cloud. It's happening. It's here. And yeah, you know,
and it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Right. Which I, you know, look, if you're a Florida State fan, it might take you a lot longer to get in the top four than it will the top 12. I mean, you could get lucky this year and go 10-2 and be in the top 12. You don't have to be awesome to get in the playoffs. You have to be awesome to win the championship. But getting in the playoff, if you can just get in the playoff, it starts something. You show teams, you can get in the playoff here. And then you start recruiting better players. You start bringing in better players. And then you keep climbing that way. I just think it's awesome for the teams that aren't Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State right now. I just think it's really good for the rest of the country and keeps more people invested and interested.
Yeah. So 2026 at the latest, but possibly as soon as 2024, could be implemented.
And they will. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made, and they love their money. So it definitely will be implemented before then. Yeah. I mean, before 2026, I think.
Right on. All right, let's get back to talking Noles. Let's bring in another voice, Tom Lang, warchant.com, Jeff Cameron Show, coming up right after this. It's Tuesday. Time for Tom Lang to join us, director of original content for warchant.com, as well as the executive producer of the Jeff Cameron Show, which you usually can hear on weekdays, but since it is Tuesday, it's Seminole Headlines, so no JCS. But it'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's up, Tom?
What's going on, guys? It's post-bye week, and we're going to get into that Saturday routine, but you know what? If college football is going to be that good every weekend, I'd prefer we play all Fridays and Sundays from here on out, please.
I'll take it.
That was crazy. That Saturday was crazy. By the way, what do y'all do for the pregame show? You're going to have the regular Jeff Cameron Show from 1 to 3 on Friday, and then a pregame show after that leading into the game? What are y'all doing?
Oh, yeah. You're going to see a lot of me on the channel.
Can't wait.
1 to 3 on Friday, normal time, and then we'll be 6:30 for the pregame show on Warchant TV. It'll be one of those. It's a road game. Same link. Takes you from pregame to the watch-along to the postgame. So
nice.
We'll have you wall-to-wall on Friday, buddy.
Sweet.
And it's actually the watch-along is going to be you, Jeff, and Ira, some combination, then Gene at some point too, right? Yes. D-Rob's got the day off.
D-Rob's got this one, and he will miss NC State as well because, he's got recruiting things to worry about in his own life, his own personal life. So, yes, I think it's Ira and Jeff in the first half and then Gene and I in the second half. Don't hold me to that. We might audible, but that you're correct. That's the quartet that's going to be on for the watch along.
I assume his kid is playing Friday night, right?
Got to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, good for him. You know, and his kid's really good. I'd want to, if my son was as good as his kid, I would go watch him all the time too.
And yeah, man. So they're 2-0. If they're 3-0, maybe that'll help get Deuce loose. Not Deuce Spann, but Deuce Robinson, Dominic's son. Come on home, man. You know, build on your dad's legacy. Anyhow, practice on Monday. Observations. It's usually Corey's forte, but he's not in town, so that was you, Tom. Man, I still saw a pretty focused group. I know Coach Norvell said that he thought they bookended things well. They started off really, really well. That period three that you folks used to be able to watch at home, but we're not allowed to film it any longer, where they go 11-on-11, and it's like it's usually like, hey, 40 seconds left, we're down by five. It's usually a different sort of end-of-game scenario, and they always go tempo on offense. Man, Jordan picked that defense apart. Everybody came over and paid tribute. Ron Dugans was dapping him up. Mike Norvell came up. It was like, hell of a job. Tony Tokar smiling from ear to ear. I didn't see any kind of drop-off, I don't think, midway through the practice. But what did you take away from it? Because I guess maybe the concern for some fans is how will they handle success? How do you think they handled success in terms of attacking Monday, Tom?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's they're kind of their Tuesday practice because everything's all convoluted with the Friday kick. But I thought they were sharp. I thought Jordan especially was sharp. I didn't see much of a drop-off from him. Maybe some of the intensity during special teams work wasn't where Mike wanted it to be because they did a lot of special team stuff. But Jordan, you know, what's interesting about him is I thought he was solid with really good days interspersed in camp. I don't think he ever had an awful day. I don't think he looked great consistently. There was the one time where start to finish in practice, we all reported on that he looked otherworldly. But then he goes live against LSU specifically. I'll remove the Duquesne game because they ran the ball so much. The live situation against LSU, he elevated, and I don't think he's dropped off since then, Aslan, at least the practices that I've been to. It's almost like he reset the floor of what he is, because in that 11-on-11 situation, even though he's not live, there were a lot of pressures, and he had to get off the platform and move around and manipulate things and then know where his receivers were going to be. It's just it's fun to see that apparently we'll see if it continues, but apparently Jordan Travis has reestablished what the normal and the expectation should be for him. We'll see if he handles everything all right on Friday as well.
Well, we talked to him after the, or I think it was before the LSU game, actually, before we all headed over to New Orleans and had our wonderful time there. And he said he was more confident than he's ever been. He feels more confident in himself, in the offense, his understanding of the offense. And then to go out there and, confirm it with such a strong game. I mean, he was on pace before, that it was such a weird game. They didn't have a ton of possessions, and the possessions they did have were long ones. But, he was on pace for a 300-yard passing day, 350 total yards of offense against that defense. You saw what Southern couldn't do anything against with that defense, gang. LSU was mad. But against that type of athletic defense in that environment on that stage, which was unlike anything Jordan's ever played in before, right? Like, he's been in the swamp. I get it. He's been against Clemson. But when he played Clemson, they were, 3-4 when they played Clemson? When they played Florida, they were 5-6. The season had already been a disappointment. I know you're playing for a bowl, but you're playing for 6-6. On that stage, with those kind of expectations for him to rise in the moment, his confidence that he was before that game, you have to think that ticks up even another level or two. And he's supremely confident in what he can do. And apparently, I saw it last week when I watched a couple of the practices, but you guys saw it on Monday that, it hasn't slowed down, which is great to hear.
So I guess But Friday, though, is probably a different kind of challenge, though, right? This is true road game, hostile environment. We'll really see what he's – I don't want to say what he's really made of, but this will be a kind of a different challenge. And if he passes this one, then because, right now, I don't want you to swing the balance of the show, Tom, but it is Tuesdays with Tom, so we do want you to, throw your weight around here. But yeah, I think Corey's a little more cautiously optimistic about this team. I am kind of very much thinking – I don't see how they're going to lose a lot of football games right now, Tom. So I think if they go Friday night into Louisville, which will be a hostile crowd. Listen, they got all to play for Louisville right now. I mean, they start off 0-1 in ACC play, but if you beat Florida State, you're level up, and then you're still kind of elbowing for space in Atlantic. Will this be another kind of data point, another stepping stone for Jordan Travis to really assert himself as a great quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a top three guy in the ACC. That was kind of laughed at preseason, that he could maybe climb to the top three, and now it doesn't seem so nuts. Malik Cunningham was one that was thought to be, affixed ahead of Jordan Travis before the season. Here's a chance head-to-head. I know they don't play each other at the same time, but to make a statement there. He's played at Louisville before. I believe that was the crossover on the opening drive when the ball hit the ground and he had a wicked crossover. So this isn't his first time in that building for Florida State, but I think this one hits different. I think this one hits different on his emotions, just looking at where he came from with that program and where he is now. It's funny that he's quote-unquote arrived just before he gets to play where he originally was playing college football in Louisville. So I think that's the difference in this challenge. We'll see if his emotions are kept in check for that first half early on in that game, because the way his eyes looked and how calm he was against LSU, you'll know if there's a difference. Because he just looked completely unflappable in game two of the season. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think I have a hard time not seeing happening against Louisville is FSU being able to run the football. LSU's defense doesn't look that great. So
Louisville.
Sorry, Louisville, forgive me. Louisville's defense doesn't look that great. LSU's obviously is more stout in the front seven. I see Florida State being able to do what they want to do plan A-wise, which is run the football. If you can get this Jordan Travis to operate as your quarterback – after you've established the run and the principles of the running game that you want to do, he becomes even more dangerous. So that's where, Aslan, I hear you working and saying, man, I just have a hard time drawing up a scenario by which Florida State finds itself in trouble. It would be poor red zone execution. It'd be turnovers, things like that, some missed kicks. But I see a greater balance coming for this offense on Friday. And if they can establish the run, with the way Jordan is confidence-wise, it could get real fun real fast for this offense in terms of production and points.
Somebody over on the Tribal Council, Corey, I think the thread said something about, am I missing something with Louisville? And then the post was, they haven't looked all that great. We look really good. I like our quarterback much more than theirs. Am I missing something? And then the first response was, have you been in a coma the last 4 years?
Right, which is a fair response.
Is it, though? I get it. Yep. But yep. I don't know, man. I just – I don't know if they've exorcised the demons out of themselves, but I just think, man, they've got so much different. They got so many different pieces now, man. Like, they didn't lose. They didn't get embarrassed with Johnny Wilson and Micah Pittman as their receivers. They didn't get embarrassed with Jared Verse and Fabian Lovett and Robert Cooper being the pieces they're relying on up front and the guys they have on the back end. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I do have a short term. Maybe I would have been a good cornerback. I guess I do have a short term memory when it comes to the foibles of the last few years. But is that what's the legitimate thing that should kind of keep people at bay? Is that, hey, man, we've seen ups and downs, a couple more downs and ups, obviously, the last few seasons. Is that the reason why that's what maybe guys like him and I are missing when it comes to this Louisville game?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, though, we all believe that the guys in Vegas know what they're talking about, right? Like, they're pretty good at this. They get paid a lot of money to come up with these lines. It's a 1.5-point spread. So who's going up there expecting Florida State to win by 17 points? That doesn't compute. It's hard to win the ACC period when you're not incredibly talented, and Florida State isn't. I mean, I think they're talented than more talented than they've been, but you know, they don't have a ton of NFL dudes on this roster, and it's hard to win on the road. And this team, this program, this coaching staff, as much as I believe in the direction, hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt to just assume you're going to stroll into Louisville, a place you haven't won. You've won once in the last four times you visited, and that was a crazy gift by Petrino that got him fired. Yeah. You don't play up there well traditionally. It's not a horrible team by any stretch. And they've got a quarterback that, if you don't watch him, can run for – you thought Jaden Daniels could do some things. This dude could run for 200 if you let him. So Cunningham is the X factor, man. I think if he sprains his ankle on the first play, I think Florida State could win by 21 points. But he probably won't. And then I think you're in a fourth quarter game, because all these games are fourth quarter games. I would be stunned if either of these teams is like sending in backups in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's an ACC game between two kind of evenly matched teams, and it's a road game for Florida State, and this team has won, well, I guess they've won two of their last three true road games, Boston College and North Carolina, so that's good. But yeah, just you got to prove it a little more before we just assume that you're going to go beat any of these teams comfortably. And Louisville's playing at home for the first time, and the offense always moves better at home. Their offense will be, in my opinion, markedly better than it's been the first 2 weeks. They're playing at home, and yeah, they're just playing at home. It's easier to play offense at home.
I just think, you know, the reason Florida State's defense looks so solid against LSU for, you know, 3.5 quarters or 3 quarters was that LSU just couldn't run the ball on them. And I don't think Louisville's going to find much success being able to run the ball. So, you know, it's all going to fall on Malik Cunningham. Can he beat you as a passer? And I don't know. I mean, I do have some concerns about Florida State's ability to cover, but I mean, if you turn them one-dimensional, I mean, then that kind of eliminates a lot of things that you have to worry and stress about. I don't know. What's maybe the biggest concern then for you, if you even have one, if you want to label it a concern, Tom?
Yeah, it's corner play. I think, you know, the one thing that worked early for LSU and they never went back to, kind of scratched my head about it, you know, is the drop by Bouti in the end zone. It's good play by Akeem Dent to fight through and enforce the incompletion, don't get me wrong. But that looked like that would be a signal to me as an offensive mind that we should try some more vertical shots down the field. Because Florida State was lining up man-to-man across the board. They were sending some extra pressures here and there, but they were saying our corners can go one-on-one with your receivers at LSU, which I found incredibly, I don't know if I could say it on Wake Up, but ballsy. I mean, that was I was thinking, okay, that's what you want to do. Fair enough. Well, if I'm Louisville and I take a look at that film, I say, well, we burned them down the field the last two times we played them. Let's see if we can burn them down the field again. And Malik certainly has been accurate enough to do that. The last two games, 2 years ago, everything was wide open, so it really didn't matter all that much. But that would be the thing I'd test. I know if I'm Louisville's offensive coordinator that Florida State's front seven is stout. They've already proven that they can do somewhat well against a running quarterback in Daniels. I think Florida State, it's a huge benefit to see Jaden Daniels before you see Malik Cunningham to clean up some of the mistakes that they've made. But I am concerned about corner play. And then the other side, it's a chicken or the egg argument. The thing I love for Mike Norvell and this offense and Alex Atkins is a lot of what UCF does, not tempo-wise, they're way faster than Florida State plays, but just formationally, concepts are the same as what FSU does. If you watch that game on Friday, you saw a lot of similar concepts. Florida State has better players than UCF does to be able to run those things. So I like that for Mike Norvell. But then also, conversely, Louisville saw a lot of things, I'm sure, against those kinds of formations that they know they need to clean up. So you could argue yourself into a circle on the one side of the ball. On the other, the concern, I think, is all about corner and what does Louisville do to challenge down the field.
Tom, what do you envision? Because I watched that game too, and I the first 3.5 drives for Central Florida, I thought Louisville was passive. They got run through. They just got shredded. And then it was almost as if their DC said, you know what? I'm tired of watching this. I'm putting 9 guys at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
I'm putting 8. I'm at least run blitzing with one linebacker, probably both. I want 6 guys at the line of scrimmage, just sprinting towards the line of scrimmage on every play. And it worked for them to the point of UCF went 10 straight, the last 10 drives without scoring a point. Mm-hmm. Don't you envision they're going to have a very similar defensive plan for Florida State? They're not going to just sit back and let, those running backs, Toa Feely and the gang. Lawrence, you're my guy. I go with you first. I don't mention Trayshawn Ward. I go with Toa Feely. No Benson. I don't think they're going to just let Florida State just churn out huge yardage initially out of the run game. I think they like what that looked like the last 10 drives.
Yeah.
And I think they're like, this is going to be our identity. We are going to put pressure on you to make plays because we are run blitzing. We are having 9 guys, the line of scrimmage on every play.
Yeah, I mean, it was an alert play and an alert change out of them. I saw the same thing. I mean, they didn't get stops for no reason. They did make an adjustment. But that's where this quarterback versus Plumlee is just right. A huge difference. And
the receivers have to go make plays, right? I think it's so important that those guys go make some plays on Friday night.
They need to, and then also the perimeter game. Jordan's decision-making, see, the thing that was the light coming on for everybody with the LSU game was he's making decisions that a pocket passer would make, and he's making them at a high level. Pre-snap, they bring blitzes. We're getting close to a point where you don't want to blitz Jordan Travis, period. The way he handled the blitz against LSU was very impressive. So that's great to have in one conversation. But one thing we already knew, Corey and Aslan, was zone read, perimeter throws, counting, all those kinds of things, the line of scrimmage, the snap decisions you got to make in the RPO game, Jordan was already very good at that. So if you're going to bring extra pressures on him, run blitzes or whatever, you could still exploit them with perimeter screens because now one thing that held up again against LSU, this receiving corps is doing a lot better perimeter blocking. So that opens up some things if you want to stretch them east and west so they can't just tee off on your running backs between the tackles. This offense is becoming a real nightmare because Jordan can make pocket passer throws and the receivers are better. I agree with you, Corey, though. If I was going to try to make them prove something, I would take away the run, the standard run, and say, do something else. The fun part is I think Jordan and these receivers can do something else. I think they will.
Last thing, Tom, 4.5 over under tackles for Jarvis Brownlee.
I'm going to go with over because I do think there are going to be a lot of those bubbles and perimeter screens. So he'll get a lot of cracks at it.
Yeah. Old Jarvis.
I think they're going to target Jarvis a little bit.
I do too.
And he had a couple awful plays in that game. He gave up a touchdown. He gave up a fourth quarter conversion on, I think, their first or second drive. But credit to him. I mean, I know that interception was kind of fluky and it was almost a touchdown and it really was an interception. He was laying out of bounds when the ball ended back in his stomach, but he was right there. I mean, that was good coverage by him. So he's just like he did at Florida State. He's playing every down. So that's going to be an interesting little matchup, him against the new Florida State receivers and what that looks like.
Aslan, one over-under for you.
Yeah.
Over-under concern factor for this game. You sound very confident. So 1-5 concern level before kickoff of this game.
I don't know. If you put like 2.5, I'd probably go under. I don't have a lot of concerns. Man, they're going to be able, like you said, plan A is going to be run the ball in Louisville. I think they'll be able to do that without having to do anything all that crazy out of their comfort system or comfort zone. And I do have some concerns about the way they're going to cover, but they'll get it figured out. They'll get it cleaned up.
And punish Cunningham. Like, that's their offense. And he's not a huge kid. He's not skinny, but he's not a huge kid. And I'm not saying you're trying to hurt him. But if he's going to run 17 or 18 times and 10 of them aren't runs out of bounds, they're like actually getting tackled in the middle field, make them feel you. You have to. That's the way you defend that.
Be careful. He slides. You don't want to go after him and give him free 15,
Well, sure. But when you get him, land on him. Like that's the risk you run by having a quarterback that runs all the time. And that's what Satterfield said after the game. We got back to our roots. We let Cunningham run more. It's like, okay, man, but it's a long season. And teams get tired of chasing a dude for a long time. So when you get him in their grasp, you want him to make maybe not run so much after you're done with him. And that's something that has to, you can't let this kid run wild on you. He is not the last 2 years. I mean, I think he's run for like 50 yards in both games, you know, on like 8-7 yards in a carry. But, you know, you can't let him run 20 times. That's just crazy. That's not the way football should be, that you let a great athlete just run around for 20, 25 times and wear all the hits, because he won't last the season. So make him think twice about running the ball.
Man, Corey Clark's so savage. So
bounty. Savage, I put a bounty on him. Just don't dive at the knees, kids. Don't dive at the knees.
Tuesdays are cool. Cooler when Tom Lang shows up. Tom Lang, check out all of his work on the Jeff Cameron Show, as well as WarChant.com and WarChant TV. That's our YouTube channel. It's totally free. Subscribe. Hit the thumbs up. Still a buck, too, right, to subscribe to the website, Tom?
Just a buck, baby. Come on. $1. WarChant.com.